Yes, so we will see how this talk goes, because I have had a very dramatic last 48 hours. So just so I have a little bit more understanding about you guys, who here is a software engineer? Raise your hands. Who here is afraid to raise your hands in front of other people? Okay, cool. So who is a sysadmin? Okay. Okay, awesome. So this is going to be things that you might already know, but I will hopefully teach you something new. My name is Shannon Burns. I'm a developer advocate for Nginx. And before I was a developer advocate, I was a software engineer. this is me over the last few days. but I've never been a sysadmin, so please forgive me if I'm saying things that are incorrect or that you know more than me about. Please feel free to correct me. I want to learn and be better at what I do. So, yeah. Okay. So I made a slide to thank the previous speaker because, as you may have heard, I was at a talk 2 days ago, and the podium broke in the middle of me giving a talk, and my entire computer crashed and broke, and David here lent me his computer over the last couple hours, and I rewrote this entire talk. and my awesome office manager, I have to thank her, they overnighted me a brand new computer, so this was me. Perfect, so on to some fun things. So how many of you are using Nginx right now? Okay. And how many of you are using it as a web server? Okay, anyone using it as a load balancer? Okay, great, cool. Anybody using it in any other interesting way? You are one person, okay, cool. So Nginx is started out as a web server. Back in 2002 when Igor Sisoyev, a sysadmin at the time, was frustrated with Apache, and he originally started it actually as a patch for Apache to make Apache better, and then decided that he needed to re-architect the entire thing, and so that's how Nginx was born. And since then, it's actually become a lot more than just a web server. It is an application accelerator, and since we've shifted toward application acceleration, we have added some new features and some new exciting things. So I'm going to introduce you to some of that. These are the five things that you may not know that I'm going to go over. And hopefully you don't know every one of these things. So the first thing is that you can use Nginx to compress your data. Is anyone doing this? Couple of you. Okay, cool. So you may be familiar with the gzip module. If you're not, you can use the gzip module here. For some reason, my talk notes are here and not here. Fun. There we go. Okay. So you can use the gzip module. These are the key directives that you'd need to do to use that. One thing to note is that you don't want to use it for binary content. So don't use it for images, documents, or videos. And you can use all of these directives in the HTTP server and location contexts. You can also manipulate images using the image filter module. And you can do that inline, which is pretty neat. So here are the key directives for that: image filter size, filter resize, and crop. And so this will actually allow you to manipulate and transform the images within Nginx. And these directives can be used within the location context. And because I need pictures that are funny to live, I decided to put this in here. Shall we continue? Okay. Another use for Nginx that you might not be aware of is that you can actually use Nginx to stop, you can use it to stop password attacks and form spamming. And in order to do that, you would use the HTTP limit request module. This module will give you granular control over the process, the request processing rate. And you can use these requests, directives to, you can use them within the HTTP, the server, and the location contexts. And what it does is it actually sets the shared memory zone and the maximum burst size of requests. So if a request rate exceeds the rate of the configured zone, then the processing is delayed so that the requests are processed at the defined rate. And any excessive requests are delayed until the number exceeds the maximum burst size. And when that happens, Nginx will send a 503, service temporarily unavailable. Just so you know, the default of a max burst is zero. Yes? Sorry, can you repeat that?
When you proxy and take the remote address, you can have the remote address module take the IP from a preset list of proxy IPs that takes the IP from another.
So you're asking, with the binary remote address variable?
Yeah, exactly. Like if you have limit request zone.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Will that be on the proxy address or the address that is being proxied?
Will it be on the proxy address or on the address that is proxied? That's a really great question. Let me think about that and find out and get back to you because I don't know off the top of my head. Okay. And we can follow up afterwards and talk some more. So the next thing I wanted to mention is that Nginx supports WebSockets. Is anybody using a WebSocket application? Okay. Did you also know that you can load balance WebSockets with Nginx? Cool. You know. You know all of it. You can come up here and give this talk. I put this in here because I love this. So Ajax led to long polling, which leads to WebSockets. And we have been supporting it. You can use... Nginx to load balance your WebSocket connections. And this is how you'd configure that in Nginx. So you just set your upgrade header, or you set your header to upgrade using the HTTP upgrade variable, and then just upgrade your connection. Has anybody heard of NginScript? Nobody has heard of NginScript. Sweet. Okay, this is my favorite part of this talk. So something we just recently launched was JavaScript support inside Nginx. So we wanted to address this problem that some developers have of having an application that you want to change without having to change the application code. But not necessarily for a bad reason. You don't have to use code injection to be evil. You can use it for some good, valid reasons. And so that's why we have NginScript. We figured that Nginx was actually the bump in the wire. It was the perfect injection site to allow some more configuration. And so that is what led to the creation of NginScript. And what it is, it's actually a custom runtime within Nginx in the web server that runs JavaScript code. We did this because JavaScript is the most popular language on GitHub right now, and we wanted to make Nginx more accessible. So a couple of things to note. NginScript is not a replacement for Lua, just like I am not a replacement for my brother. It is something that we wanted to do to invite a larger community to use and extend the functionality of Nginx. And the reason we built a custom VM rather than using one of the VMs that exists already is because it needed to be optimized for the server environment rather than for the browser environment. So each VM gets spun up individually, in order to run that one snippet that's injected into your Nginx configuration. And then when that is completed, the VM dies away. We also wanted to allow it to be preemptive, so that's something that our developers are working on right now. And so when EngineScript performs a blocking operation, Nginx will suspend the execution of that VM and then reschedule it when the event completes. So in order to use EngineScript, it is just a module. So you would use these directives, and JS set will allow you to set a variable with JavaScript. You can actually use this variable in any of the other Nginx directives, which is pretty neat, in my opinion. And then if you wanted to run your own calculation in JavaScript inside Nginx, you can do so as well using JS run. So you just set JS run and then create your calculation that you want to do. You can also use the variables that you created with JS set. Is there a question over there? So right now it is in its infancy. It's still very experimental, and it's limited to some very basic JavaScript. So we're working on extending that. But part of the reason why we wanted to release it early was because we wanted to include the community in the development process. So we want to build out what you really need, and not input something that's going to slow down the entire server. So does that answer your question? Yes, it's not a full JavaScript implementation. Yeah. Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. Yes. Sorry, what was that question? Is it a separate? How does it fit into the architecture? So let me make sure I understand how I can answer or how to answer this properly. So what happens, the way it fits in with Nginx is inside your configuration file, you can set a snippet, a JavaScript snippet, using EngineScript. And when that location, let's say you set for a location block, see this one here, /hello. When you go to /hello, that's when this will run. And then Nginx will spin up a VM, run that snippet, and then when the snippet completes, it will close and set. Helpful or? I'm not 100% sure. Let me find out and get back to you on that. Great questions. So moving on, EngineScript actually, when you use these, you have access to this request object, and the request object allows you to read and write from the request, the HTTP requests that Nginx handles. So that means you can change these. You can also change the response. So the request object has a response object attached to it. And you can set your own response here. So this is really helpful in writing better error messages. That's something that you can use it for. So if you're wondering... Why? The response when we launched this seemed to be in the community. The community was very confused as to why we would spend time creating this. And so I wanted to answer those questions for you. So one of the reasons, because I think it's really exciting, and more than just me telling you you should use it, you can use it as a Band-Aid when everything's broken. So let's say that you have an airline app, and when somebody comes into your site and requests a flight that has 100 connections, all of a sudden your entire application crashes and you don't know why. Because it will take a while to hunt down that bug and fix it, what you can do is inject a snippet of JavaScript that will automatically limit the amount of requests. So anytime anybody requests more than 3 connections, you can say, you know, send back a different response that says, I'm sorry, only 3 connections are allowed. And then that gives your developers more time to fix the bug and find it. You can also use it to give yourself more control over the traffic that you have. So one of these ways, let's see, I can't remember, I didn't, my notes are gone. One of the ways for that you can extend the control of traffic is if you have issues with, let's say you're on Hacker News, and you're getting a bunch of referral traffic to your site from Twitter or something else, and this traffic isn't necessarily valuable, and it's bringing down the speed of your entire site. What you can do is add a cookie to every person that's coming in with that referral, and dynamically apply a bandwidth limit to all of those people with that cookie. And what I think is the most exciting possible use for it in the future is around microservices. So the whole idea behind it is to, Nginx is to extend the functionality of Nginx. And Nginx within a microservices framework has become really popular. Is anybody using microservices right now in production? Yeah? Okay, cool. Has anyone used aspect-oriented programming? No. Yes? Okay, cool. So one of the possible future use cases of NGINScript within microservices is that you can actually take an aspect out, something that touches multiple services, like authentication, and put that into the server level. So that way you don't have to build an entire service that now relies on all of these other services. So to me, this is a little hive mind idea. To me, that seems like it's a really exciting new application of this. But as a caveat, it is right now very beta, and you need to download the newest version of Nginx and get the repository directly from us in order to use NGINScript. But we would love for you guys to play with it, see what possible uses you'd find, and let us know that feedback. You can email me directly, set up a Google Hangout. We want to know how to build this in the way that you want to use it. So, yes. Yes.
Would it be possible to look at requests and pull the request headers and then write them to the local using NGINScript?
Sorry, look at all the request headers.
Uh-huh. And write them to the server local using NGINScript?
It sounds possible to me. So he was asking, is it possible to look at all of the request headers and then log them, is that right? Yes, I do believe that is possible now, but let me just verify that and follow up with you. But I'm pretty sure that is one of the ideas that we had in mind. I'm just not sure if it's on the roadmap or if it's done. But I think it's done. Okay, so is anybody using HTTP2? One person, two people, okay, cool. Is anybody nervous about having to use HTTP2? A couple people, okay. So Nginx has actually been developing and working on support for HTTP2, and now it's live. So you can actually start to migrate, make the move. It's not enabled by default, so you'll have to, when you build Nginx, add the --/ with HTTP version 2 module. And it is still in its experimental phase. So for those of you that are worried about moving to HTTP2, there are a couple of things I wanted to just point out. The change can affect some of the optimizations that we were doing before, if you haven't heard already. So check to see if some of the patterns that you were using before are slowing down when you make the switch, because that can happen. So that is all of the slides that I have. And does anybody have any questions or yes?
Could you back up way to the beginning of the talk to the slide about gzip compression?
About what?
Gzip compression?
Yes.
Thank you. There's a scary, scary security thing I need to talk about. The next slide? Or no, this one. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. There was a very good presentation at Black Hat Europe about 2 years ago called Breach Attack. And if anyone looks at breachattack.com, they can find it. The short version is if you use gzip level HTTP compression for dynamic content, particularly when you're handling authentication cookies,
mm-hmm.
In a man-in-the-middle situation, so think like Starbucks coffee shop, where an attacker can control the pipe, but the user thinks, aha, I'm using SSL, and they can't observe. Attackers can actually use gzip compression to recover cookies from compressed connections. Breachattack.com goes into the details. I don't want to like start explaining Huffman encoding right now. But the enable gzip compression for any proxied request kind of freaked me out a little bit. Purely static content, like the CDN use case, where mm-hmm. there's no cookies, go for it. But that one's really scary and needs a giant security warning sticker.
Warning.
Yes. Well, warning, see breachattack.com for details.
I will add that into my slides for next time. Thank you so much for letting me know. Any other questions? Ask me questions, guys. Okay, I'll ask you questions if you don't start asking me questions. You. What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? Good answer. I don't know that. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, someone's coming up.
When it comes to the compression, does it log the ratio that it gets, or do you have to figure that out on your own? Like if you wanted to monitor how much am I actually saving by doing this, or how much are my clients saving?
I don't know the answer to that, but let me find out for you. So you want to know if when you are using the gzip, I want to take notes so I can follow up with everyone. If it logs the,
compression ratio.
Will you follow up with me afterwards and let me have your email and I'll find out for you? Yes. Oh, sorry, actually, there's somebody that's standing and asking a question, and then I'll come back to you.
Does Nginx support HTTP2 as a client itself when you're using it as a proxy?
Can you lean into the microphone a little bit more?
Hi. Does Nginx support HTTP2 itself when as a client using it as a proxy back to like other services?
As a client? I'm sorry, I still can't hear you very well. As a client using a proxy?
Does it support HTTP2 as a client itself when you're using it as a proxy in front of other services?
I'm not. It's a really good question. I don't know off the top of my head, sorry. I'll have to email everybody all the questions that I don't know the answer to. Yes.
Hi. If I'm using it as a proxy, is it possible to have it override DNS for certain URLs?
The rewrite module you should be able to use. Are you asking in specifics to HTTP2 or just in general as a proxy?
In general, using it as a, we're looking for a web proxy, but there's certain URLs where we want to ignore DNS, don't do a DNS lookup, but instead kind of redirect.
I would look into the rewrite module, look up the rewrite module documentation. I think that'll answer your question.
Okay. Also, another question. So I don't use Nginx, but I have a lot of friends who do, and a lot of them use it for, because they're in a service-oriented architecture, so they're using it for their API.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, that seems to be a popular application for Nginx. Is there something built in specifically to help you manage APIs, or is that just a coincidence I've noticed?
So that is actually something that we're considering working on in our development. And so any kind of feature, so an API gateway, if you guys have ideas like that, things that you need, please let me know because I can bug people for you. I am your advocate. Let me advocate for you.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there a way to tell it, to teach it about the protocol so that it can know that at this point it can break the connection in order
So you're talking with WebSockets? Or, okay.
Just TCP sockets. Okay.
Shut the connection. Okay, so you're wondering if using Nginx as a TCP load balancer, you can configure it so that it will shut down connections after a timeout?
Or
as dynamically? I want to say that that's possible, but I don't want to say with confidence, so let me find out that. I'd rather double-check everything than say something that's not true, so let me find out. I think you can set a timeout. Oh, sorry, what was the... is there any other questions? Yes.
I have two comments. About the DNS for proxies, was that when you request your command?
Yeah, can we... The answer is banana.
So for the proxy, I was thinking about, was it when the Nginx is acting as a proxy and talking to backends, or was it as a reverse proxy, like... Squid proxy or something.
You're referring to somebody else's question, right?
Asking yeah, for the DNS request, because when you're using Nginx as a proxy for backends, you can also supply a local DNS server that you can have control in the upstream configuration. So then you can have a resolver that you control, so any host name can resolve to whatever you want.
I think you guys should talk.
And also there is a log format for GSEP compression ratio. So it's just a variable.
Thank you. Any other questions? No?